Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. Continuing the discussion about Damesek, but we turn more to the Churban of the Aseres Hashvatim, the Malchus of Yisrael, because the two, as we mentioned, are interlinked. There was an alliance between Ritzin Melech Aram and Pekach Ben Remaliyahu, the king of Yisrael. And Sancheriv comes along and he wipes out Aram with Ritzin and Damesek, and then he goes further to send into exile the Aseres Hashvatim. Now, in Pasuk Zayin, we discuss the aftermath of the Churban of the Aseres Hashvatim. Those that will survive, who will survive? Not really anyone from the Malchus of Yisrael, but the Malchus of Yehuda. The Malchus of Yehuda will be the only remnant of Klal Yisrael after the Agos, the Aseres Hashvatim. And even the Malchus of Yehuda, as we mentioned many times, a good part of the Malchus of Yehuda will also be sent into exile or destroyed. And the only survivors will be the people living in Yerushalayim. So by Yom Hu, on that day, Yisha Adam Aloisei, on that day, the people will rely upon their Creator. Yisha means to rely or to turn. The El Kai, the El Hevel Loisha'ah. Or I forgot what it was possible, because the Parashah said that Kain Hevel brought the carbon. So the word you by Kain Hevel, the word Sha'ah means to turn. So here as well it means that people will turn to Oseo, their Creator, they will turn to Hashem, they will rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On that day, meaning this refers specifically to the people living in Yerushalayim through under the leadership of Chizkiyahu, who will bring about one of the greatest true movements in the history of Klal Yisrael. They will study Torah, and they will rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite the fact that they are under attack. They are under attack from the enemy, from Sancher, from the outside. Bayamahu Yisha Ha'odam al Oisei, upon their Creator. Now, by the way, we mentioned this in the beginning of Sefer Yeshaya. In Tanakh, sometimes we have the word Adam, and sometimes we have the word Ha'odam. Even in our Nusach Atzila, Asher Yotzar es Ha'odam, the Chochma Uvarovo. So I saw somewhere, I do not remember where, that when it says Ha'odam with a Hey Hayidia, it refers to mankind. When it says Adam, it refers more or less to Klal Yisrael. So here, it's interesting, because here we simply are referring to Klal Yisrael, referring to the survivors. And yet it says, Ha Adam. Okay, so it's not an absolute rule.
It's an exception.
Or, of course, this pasuk can be interpreted many ways. It could be this referring to the time of Mashiach. And the time of Mashiach, the entire mankind, indeed, the non-Jews, the nation of the world, will turn and will rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not upon the work of their handiwork, as this pasuk goes on to explain. Let's see the whole pasuk one more time. Bayim hu yisha adam al ha'osev ve'enov, and their eyes, el kidosh Yisrael terena, will look. Terena means to look. Will look to the Holy of Yisrael, which refers to the Holy of Yisrael, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo yisheh, no longer will man rely el hanizbichos, to the altars, which are ma'ase yadav, the work of his hand. V'asher osu etzbeosav lo yireh, they will not look to the creation of their fingers. And v'ho asherim, no longer will they return to idols, to the asherim, these are the trees, these leafy trees which were worshipped in ancient times. V'ho chamonim, the word Hochamonim comes from the word Chama, the sun, and it means the sun gods. It appears in ancient times they would create images in the tzura of the sun, and they would bow down, they would worship these idols, which represents the power of the sun. Rav Shimon Shravi has some beautifully, he darshens this possibly reference to modern times. People no longer rely upon the technology, they're not going to rely upon energy that comes from the natural resources, the sun, which represents, the sun, solar power, and all these different types of modern day technology, which man can come to be misled to believe that he can, these things will be his source of survival, and does not need to come onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is nothing further than the truth. And that's what this pasuk here says. People no longer at this point in time rely upon all of their work of their hands, their creations, their technology, and the source of energy. They will realize the only thing they can rely upon for survival is upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
How far does that go?
What?
How How far back does Rav Schwab say?
Rav Schwab was talking, I guess, in the '80s. In those days, solar power was very big. Today, solar power is no big deal. People don't hear about it. They're more into other types of energy resource. But I remember those days. That was a big thing then. That was a new thing. No solar panels.
No, but does Rav Schwab extend it to modern forms?
Sure, of course. All
is that saying we no longer rely on those modern forms?
No, we're going to have them. Of course we're going to have them, but we're not going to, they're going to exist. I mean, but people are not going to, this is everything. People are not going to say that as long as we have our own oil and gas, we don't need to worry about the Ribbono Shel Olam. We can take care of ourselves. We don't need a David. We don't need the Dharma Abel, they're going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to go build supports. They built some type of, we don't know what exactly they did, but they tried to build pillars to protect the heavens from caving in and bringing another flood upon the world. That was the Dharma Flood, the Dharma Abel, they did all different midrashim. They had some type of calculation every certain number of years, a Churban comes to the world. We will take care of ourselves. We will set up pillars and go to the heavens. Could be they had technology in those days that we are not aware of. There are many mysteries. I remember in college I took a course, and a very knowledgeable professor, and he showed us all these different mysteries of ancient times. And like, ad hayom hazeh, we do not know how in the world they were able to pull it off. Like there are certain, not talking about Yushalayim also, they talk about how they get they already figured out how they were able to build the Kosel, the pyramids, but those are the famous things. But there were many other things in nations and countries we never heard of, in India and Ethiopia. There are things that we just do not know. Ad hayom hazeh, how these things, they were able to do these things. Obviously they had some chokhmah, which has been lost from us, and whatever, that's also by the time of Noah. Alright, these are different ideas, these are well-known ideas. But in any event, this one, the Pasuk here says, people are not going to rely upon, there are many ideas here mentioned, the Pasuk, the Mizbechos, and the Ma'asi Yadav, Asher Asu Etzba Oysav, the Asherim, and the Hachamonim, the sun, idols in the image of the sun. Pasuk test, by Yomahu on that day, Yihyeh, Yihyu, Orei Mo'uzol. Now we are referring back to what's going to happen on that day. Lefi Pshudashol Mikra, the Pesukim are describing in detail the Churban of the Malchus of Yisroel and the Churban of part of the Malchus of Yehuda, and the only ones that will survive are going to be those that are inside of Yerushalayim and the surrounding area, and those people are going to be under the influence of Chizkiyahu, a great tzaddik. He will tell them to study Torah, and through the study of Torah they're going to come to rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're going to abandon any form of Avodah Zarah. And they're going to only rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in that merit, the miracle will happen where Sanhedrin and his army will perish suddenly. But what will be with the remnant, with the rest of Klal Yisrael, the rest of the Malchus of Yisrael, and the rest of the Malchus of Yehuda? The Pasuk makes it very clear. By Yimu on that day, Yihyu Orei Mo'uzo, the city of his strength, referring to the strength, his strength, the strength of the nation of Yisrael, will be abandoned, will be completely obliterated, destroyed. Ka'azuvas ha'choresh, like an abandoned forest. Forest typically is abandoned. No one here takes care of what occurs in the forest. It's abandoned. The ho'omir. Ho'omir is the center branch of a tree, which typically is very, very tall. And it's so tall, people do not attempt to climb and reach the top of the tree. So the way at least the Mitzvah explains that the Amir, the center branch of the tree, is abandoned from man. You don't find people climbing that center branch of the tree. It's desolate from human, from occupation by human beings. And then the Pasuk says a third expression, Asher Ozavu, it will also be, this is a separate statement, separate phrase, the land of Eretz Yisrael will be abandoned, Mipnei b'nei asher ozvu, just like it was abandoned, Mipnei b'nei Yisrael. Meaning, this referring to the time of the conquest of Yehoshua. When Yeshua entered into Eretz Yisrael, the nations of the world were terrified. They heard of the great miracles that happened that Hashem has done for Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim and in the Midbar. And now when they heard they were coming into Eretz Yisrael, they fled. They fled. They abandoned their cities and ran away. Klal Yisrael, you want to take it. We don't want to get in your way because we are afraid for our lives. That is what Eretz Yisrael is going to look like now at the time of the Churban, when the Malchus of Yisrael comes to an end, the Jewish people will be sent into exile, and the land will be abandoned, similar to the way it was abandoned by the enemy when Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael. There's a parallel between the Bias Haaretz and the Golos Haaretz. This is a very common theme in Kinos. Ashur Betzeisim Mitzrayim, Betzeisim Yerushalayim. That's exactly what's happening here. That comparing the time they came into Eretz Yisrael and the time we leave Eretz Yisrael. When we came into Eretz Yisrael, the enemy abandoned the earth. Now when we leave Eretz Yisrael, we are abandoning the earth because of the fear of the enemy that is entering. And that's what this third part of the pasuk explains, Asher Ozu, that has been abandoned by Bnei Yisrael, when the land was abandoned by the enemy, by the Canaanim, because of the fear of Bnei Yisrael, V'hayasa Shemama, and the land will now be desolate. The Medrash says that this refers specifically, not necessarily to all of the Canaanim. Canaanim is a generic term which refers to all of the seven nations. But in the seven nations, there's Achiti, Hoimari, Aprizi, Vayivusivi, Hagigoshi, Hoimari. The nation that abandoned land more than others was the Girgashi. It's a medrash. Other nations, Amori, Hakanai, Prizi, Haivusivi, they fought. But the Girgashi were terrified from the Jewish people, and they packed up and left. So here, although we're referring to the Canaanim, we're referring specifically to the nation of the Girgashi in the league, in the mother nation of Canaan. They abandoned the land because of the Jewish people, and now the land will be abandoned. So let's go back to the beginning of this pasuk review. We have over here a few different ideas. The pasuk compares Eretz Yisrael, which was once the Ori Mo'uzo, the cities of its strength, the strength of the Malchus of Yisrael, are going to be abandoned. We have three different examples. Number one, like a forest. Number two, like an Omir, the center branch of a tree. And the third example is the same way the Canaanim abandoned the land in the fear of the entry of Bnei Yisrael. What is the significance? I do not know, but I'm certain there are three things the pasuk come to emphasize. There must be some symbolic significance in comparing the land to these three things: the forest, the center branch, and the Canaanim. Okay, now we go to pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud says, Ki shochachat Elokei Yishech. Why has this tragedy come upon Klal Yisrael? Why have the Aseres Hashvatim gone into exile? It's because they have forgotten. You have forgotten Ki shochachat. You have forgotten Elokei Yishech, the God of your salvation. Hashem was good to the Jewish people. He took them out of Mitzrayim. He did miracles to them in the desert. He brought them into Eretz Yisrael. All of these years when they're in Eretz Yisrael, although they have sinned, Hashem always saved them from the Plishtim and from the neighboring enemies. The Jewish people have forgotten Elokei Yishech, the God of your salvation. The Tzur, the Rach, Mo'uzech of your stronghold, Loi Zochart, you did not remember. Period. Now we come to a difficult section. These next words are very difficult. Al-Kain. Al-Kain simply means therefore. Here, it doesn't really mean therefore, it means Asher. It means, I'm not even sure exactly, maybe as we explain the pasuk, will come to us a better translation. It doesn't necessarily mean here, therefore. It means, it's an expression of, okay, let's just leave it now for now, Al-Kain, therefore. Or let's just go further. Titi nite na'amonim. I planted pleasant saplings. I had great hopes for the Jewish people, Hashem says. Originally, when I established you as a nation, there are many midrashim. Some learners refer to the time of Matan Torah. At the time when I gave you the Torah, I had great hopes. I planted a pleasant tree. You were my nation, and I established you as my nation. But things did not go according to plan. Instead of the tree producing beautiful branches, beautiful fruit, Uzumoras Zor Tizraenu, you blossomed. Here the word Tizraenu means seed, but it means the seed produced and grew and developed a branch that was strange. This is not what I had in mind. If we go back to Perek Hay, in the beginning of Yeshaya, we learned about the Anovim. Hashem takes Klal Yisrael to a Din Torah Kaviyachal. I planted a tree, I planted a vineyard, and I had expectations that the vineyard would produce grapes. And what did it produce instead? Boser, sour grapes. Here's the same idea. I planted a beautiful tree, I had great expectations, and instead of what I planned for you, instead you, Uzmara Zor Tizra'enu, you planted and you developed into a strange branch. Let's see the pasuk. There are many interpretations. Let's see the pasuk. The Mitzudah's pasuk Yud Aleph. B'yom Niteich. B'yom Niteich in the Mitzudah's David. On the day that I planted you, Lekach Hayisa Mitzlachas B'tchila. The reason why the Jewish people were successful for the first few hundred years in Eretz Yisrael was because Ki B'yom Shenotu Osach Niskadalt L'malo. The day that I planted you, you became great. Rabokeh Sha'ach Rabotzi Pirchei Hazera. Rot Salomar, then the Hirus Rav Boluchu Hagdula. Very quickly, you were successful. You developed, you built a Beis Hamikdash, and the Eretz Yisrael developed beautifully. However, Neid Kotzir. Neid, that's already the next Pasuk. I skipped, Let's go back. I read the wrong Pasuk, I'm sorry. Let's go back to Pasuk Yud. Okay, we're reading Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud from the words Al Kain. Al Asher Mitchila Notata Nite Ne'amim Va'aravim. Originally I planted pleasant saplings. The Ata now, Tizra Artzuchal, your land has been seeded Zemora Zor. She'enoi mi min ha'gefane, which is not what I planted. It's not the min of vines. I planted vines. Rotzalomar, Hafachto Avodas Hokel Lavodas Ho'elil. That you have changed, you have rebuilt. Instead of serving Hashem, you have worshipped idols. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud. Rashi says the same idea. Alkein Tite Alkein Kasher Nitaticha Mitchila Natati Neta Ne'amim Shneim Osu B'nei Yaakov. I planted the 12 tribes of the Jewish people. Uve Halois Nit'ech Lizmoros Nosnu Zera She'ena Hogun Kizmora Zoro She'ena Mimin Gefen Elo Domim L'Gefen. But when it developed, it did not develop into what I planned. Rather, it was something that was strange. Tizra Enu Titnu Zarech Ba'oso Neta V'od Yeshlema Uzmoro Zor Tizrenu His.
It wasn't the Min Gefen, but it resembled.
So it was a forgery. You did not do as you planned. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk. Yeah.
My whole question on this is, Hashem already knew this because Moshe Rabbeinu had already told him at the end of Barum that they were going to turn, they were going to be a national. So it's like Yeshaya is telling us something that already Moshe Rabbeinu
didn't have to happen that way. Moshe Rabbeinu said you have a tendency to sin, but it's within your power not to sin.
He said specifically you're going to turn into a strange nation, you're going to worship a God Zara.
I don't know if he told them that it will actually happen. It's a warning that do not let this happen.
If this
will happen. They still had Bechira Chofshes. It did not have to turn out this way. The bias did not have to be destroyed. They did not have to go into exile. They abused the bracha that Hashem has given them, and they allowed it to happen. Moshe warned them this could very happen, and it could be you have a tendency that this could, but you, it's still within your power to control yourself that this should not happen. They did not take his warning, and Yeshaya here is complaining. It's exactly what is happening now. So let's see the next part. The next part is the many midrashim, and it really parallels and elaborates upon this idea that Hashem planted nite na'amonim, but the Jewish people rebelled and produced zmar zar. Pasuk Yud Aleph, B'yom Nit'ech, on the day that I planted you, Tisag Segi. Let's go a little bit further. Uva Boker, but in the morning, Zar'ech Tafrichi, your seed blossomed. However, Neid Kotsir, B'yom Nachala, Ucha'ev Onosh. Very difficult pasuk, there are many meanings. One thing at a time. The word Tisag Segi can be understood in two completely different ways. Either in the negative or the positive. If we interpret it in the negative, you have to interchange the sin with a samach. When you interchange the sin, it's very common in Tanakh, in Drush,
to change the sinu l'sal, then it's sigin. It comes from the word of sigin. Sigin means dross, impurities, metal. Very common, this idea. And over here Hashem is saying, on the day that I planted you, immediately you rebelled. You produced psolus. I had intent that you should be the finest gold, and instead you were filled with impurities. What does this refer to? So the Midrashim elaborate very much, refers to the Chei To'ega. Let me read over here what it says here in the Medrash in Vayikra Rabba. It says, B'yom Niteich, B'yom Matan Torah. The day that I planted you, you don't have this in front of you, I'm reading you from my Sefer, it has this in the Medrash. On the day of Matan Torah, Shenotati Eschem Lil'om, like it says in the pasuk, "Hayom azen hiyesu la'om la'Hashem elokecha." And this is your nation. Bo bayom, on that day, the Gemara darshins, the Medrash darshins, these words, "Tisag segi asisem atzmechem psoiles." You made yourself into you fill yourself with impurities
from
the
Matan Torah.
They did the eagle. 40 days after Matan Torah, the Jewish people worship the eagles. So that's all part of one episode, one event. Matan Torah. Moshe brought down the Torah. Hashem gave the Torah, and Moshe said to the Jewish people, "Wait for me 40 days. I'm going to heaven to receive the Torah, the understanding of the Torah Kula." And immediately, like he brings a pasuk in Yecheskel. The pasuk in Yecheskel parallels this pasuk here. Hoyu li veis Yisrael the sig. The Jewish people have been to me as an object that is impure. Sig. And there in that pasuk in Yecheskel, it's spelled with a samach. Samach yud gimel. So the Medrash says, it's a very difficult word. It's not clear what this word is. It's unusual. We don't have this word anywhere else. What exactly is this word? We have to define the shorash of this word. So according to the Medrash, the simple meaning of this word is, although here it's written with a sin, now with a samach, it's no different than the pasuk in Yecheskel, where the word disappears with the samach, and it means the same thing, and the meaning of sig means impurities. And that's what Hashem here is saying, that you have rebelled against me in the very, very beginning. The day, the time when I gave you the Torah, immediately thereafter, 40 days, you worship the eagle. Okay, that's the offense, correct? The sure. Offense, but in this context, it means that's how it's used. That's how it's used. There's another pasuk in the Mishlei, Kesef Sigim Mitzupe Al Chores. In the context of that pasuk, it's clear that the word means impurities, metal impurities. Okay, that's one interpretation. Another interpretation is it refers to lie. A difficult word, but it means she, instead of a sin, a shin. It's interpreted, okay, that's a difficult, it's a difficulty because the Masorah is to read with a sin, but it comes from the word of sheker. It's another word with she, she, gishtoin. Okay, the shin gimel means to lie. And that's the word according to the Medrash, also Vayikra Rabba. And it refers to what is the lie. The lie is the Jewish people said to Hashem, Naseh v'nishma. It was a lie. They didn't really mean it. Because if they really meant Naseh v'nishma, they would not have worshipped the idol. They would not have worshipped the eagle. So here are two interpretations of what this word means. The yom nitech, the day that I planted you, the day that I created you as a nation, I gave you the Torah, tisag segi, either it means you filled yourself with impurities. I wanted you to develop into a pure nation. No, you decided you have another agenda, the eagle. Or it means you lied. You said we accept the Torah, Naseh v'nishma. You were insincere. It was not true. There's another interpretation along this approach that it means it's to be interpreted in the negative form. It refers to the mabul. It's a reference back to Noach. That Noach, Hashem planted Noach in the Teva. That's the day that I planted you, meaning I protected you, I sheltered you from the Churban of the world by putting you in the Teva. What did you do? Tisag Segi. Tisag Segi means when you came out of the Teva, Noach found the Geffen, the vine. Geffen Echad Shegor Sham. Over here it means Shegor. That he discovered that was dwelling in the land, and that vine he planted, and he became intoxicated. Uvova yom nasasa shenotas agefen sigseg galu. It means it developed. Fruits developed. Okay, that's really the other approach. And you drank from this one, became intoxicated, and you went astray. Noach made a tragic mistake when he came out of the Teva. The first thing he should have devoted himself to was spirituality. And instead, he focused on the mundane, on the luxuries, the enjoyments of this world by planting a vine and drinking from it.
Why is Yeshua bringing that up?
It's all part of a theme of disappointments. Here Hashem is saying it's now the time of Korban. The Malchus of Yisrael is Charef. The Beis Hamikdash is also soon, within a short period of time, 150 years, going to be destroyed. Hashem is now reflecting that it's sad. It's very disappointing. There was great potential, and you let me down. It's not the only time this happened. Let's go back in the blueprint for creation. Everything in the history of the world, it repeats itself. History repeats itself.
And Hashem is not like you, a human being. You know, you get angry, you bring up all the things. 20 years ago, I remember this, I remember that, you did this to me.
I don't know the answer, but the roots of disappointment go back to the time of Noach. Okay, let's put that interpretation aside. It's a little more complex. Let me just tell you the other approach. The other approach is that the word tisag segi comes from the word of exaltedness, of vayiskov Hashem levado. Hashem vayiskov Hashem levado bayom ahu. We all know that pasuk. Hashem will be exalted on that day. So this word here, sag segi, comes from that word yiskov. Hashem will be exalted. So what does the pasuk there mean? It's interpreted in the positive form. B'yom niteich, the day that I created you as a nation, tisag segi, I had hopes and aspirations that you should be exalted. You should develop. You should become a very great nation. So it's not the negative. We're continuing the positive. This was my hope and my desire for the Jewish people. Uva boker zareich tafrichi. And in the morning, the morning here means the boker of your history. When the nation began, I planted you and you blossomed. Tafrichi, indeed you blossomed, and I had hopes that you should blossom. But you let me down. How did you let me down? Neid kotsir. You became a harvest that turns away. Neid means to turn to the side. I planted something and I had great hopes. It should develop into a mighty tree, into a beautiful crop, into beautiful vines. But when it came time for the kotsir, the harvest, to enjoy the fruit of my labor, neid, you turned aside. There was nothing to harvest. It was desolate. It was empty. Everything that I hoped for, that I invested in, was a failure. All that was left was biyom nachala. All that was left was a day of sickness. Nachla means illness. Ucha'ev onush. Onush means intense. An intense pain. Ucha'ev means a pain. Intense pain. The tsar. There's no greater tsar than the disappointment of a failure after you invest, nurture, and hope for something great. You put in your time, your money, your effort to develop something, and time passes, and you have nothing to show for it. That's all Hashem is saying I'm left with. I invested in this people an enormous amount of effort. I planted them. I gave them the Torah. I did for them miracles. Took them out of Mitzrayim. Allowed them to stay in the Midbar 40 years. And what do I have to show for it? And now, 1,000 years later, the nation is going into Golus. The Aseres HaShvatim is wiped out. The Beis HaMikdash is about to be destroyed. Yep. Exactly. That's what he's saying here in a very poetic form in this pasuk. Let's reread the pasuk one more time, and then we'll just give a hakdam to the next parak. B'yom niteich tisag segi, on the day that I planted you. So again, I gave you three interpretations. Either it means you disappointed me, you filled yourself with impurities, or you lied, referring to Matan Torah and the Chedo Egel.
Matan Torah L'Chayregel is where you, the first you filled yourself with impurities was worshiping the egel, or the interpretation of you lied refers to Naseh V'Nishma, you were insincere in your acceptance of the Torah, or this is a build up to the end of the pasuk that the day that I planted you, I had great hopes and aspirations that you should be exalted. And in the morning, your seed blossomed. You were doing well. Things were going according to plan. However, the end, when at the end of the day, referring to now about 1,000 years later, what do I have to show for this? Neid kotzir, the kotzir, the harvest, has turned away, has turned aside. There's nothing to show for it. All we have now at this time, the Yom Nachla, we have now at this time a day of illness, sickness, uche'ev anush, and intense pain. Anush is intense, uche'ev is pain, intense pain. Okay, that concludes the prophecy of the Churban of Damesek and the Churban of the Malchus of Yisrael. And now, this is HaDomah, we're not going to do that. Now we go into Perek Yitzayim. Perek Yitzayim discusses Goyg u'Magog. This is one of the most one of the most mysterious prakim in Sefer Yeshaya. The churban of the well, really recounting, describing what's going to happen at the time of the Kol Mashiach of Goyg u'Magog. Goyg u'Magog, two nations which live in the far corner of the earth, and they're going to come and attempt to destroy Klal Yisrael. Now we always think that, I mean, we don't really know what's going to happen. The Rambam says we person should not spend time trying to understand what's going to happen, because we do not know what's going to happen, and all of the prophecies are sussed, they are concealed. We do not know how things will play themselves out. But generally, if you ask the average person what's going to happen at the end of the day, so the assumption is there will first be a Mulchemes Goyg u'Magog. There's going to be some type of war, which we have no understanding the scope of this war, what it means, if it's symbolic, if it's real, or if it already happened, if it's going to happen. And then Mashiach will come. And once Mashiach comes, we're safe. It's smooth sailing. From this parak, it appears that's not the case. At least a simple understanding. It appears Mashiach will first come. There will be Mashiach. And the Mashiach will build the Beis HaMikdash. And the Jewish people will come. They'll go to Eretz Yisrael. They're going to live. They're going to develop the land. And after Mashiach already has come, and the Jewish people living in the land, Goyg u'Magog will be extremely jealous. How could it be that this really happened? And Mashiach came, the Jewish people are living safe and secure in their land, and they're developing, and they're prospering, and they're studying Torah, and everything is going well. How could this be? This wasn't supposed to be like this. They will then go to war against the Jewish people out of rage and jealousy, and they will kimat succeed. They will cause enormous damage, and they'll just about be ready to give them the final blow, to wipe out the remnants, and then suddenly an enormous miracle will happen, Jewish people will be spared, and then the entire world will come to a state of perfection. So that's not the way I just told this to you is not the way that I think most of us are familiar with, of understanding of how things are going to play out at the time of Mashiach. But that's the basic summary of this perek in its simplest interpretation. We have Goyg u'Magog, they're going to come, they're going to do Churban, and that's what we refer to as the end. The first words of the perek, your test, talk about this nation, talk about, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, well, I didn't finish, I thought we were up to perek Yitzchak. Sorry about that, wow, okay. More psukim, so I totally jumped the gun. Okay, so we'll leave this for tomorrow, but we're going to give you Akdam Perek Yitzchak, we have the Perek Pasuk Yibes. There are a few more psukim that describe the Churban of Sancheriv. As he is about to destroy Yerushalayim, suddenly his army dies, and these psukim describe in a little more detail some of the background to the Churban of Sancheriv and Melech Asher. Okay, we'll stop here.